As I kind of clean off a space up here, we got a lot of notes up here today and tonight. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and chapter 9. We're going to pull a couple of verses out and we'll tell you about the context of them just a little bit later. If I gave you all the context, I wouldn't have time to meddle. And we plan on meddling a little bit. So let me see here. Still there. How many of you have caught on to that yet? Raise your hand. What's the matter with the rest of you? All right. I hope by the time I get through tonight you've caught on. If not, I'll make no comment on if not. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, chapter 9. Just going to pull a couple of verses here. Verses we know. We often think about them. In fact, Alicia was just singing pretty much what this one is in chapter 8, verse 9. For we know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. Amen. Then jump over to the promises in chapter 9, verse 6, verse 7. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Now we all can quote that last part, can't we? Want to talk to you a little bit tonight, the need for more ketchup. That is, this is more expensive than we have at house. I got this out of the church cafeteria. It's called House Recipe. I think we have the slowest gun in the West. What is that called? You ever see that commercial? Heinz, is that it? After Kerry run for president, I wanted to quit that, but there's not ketchup, but that, amen? All right, I'm playing around with you some tonight now. You know, it's common knowledge around the church, truthfully, that I do like ketchup. In fact, you can go in our banquets that we have during the year, college banquet, high school, whatever, and they'll have the prettiest decoration on the tables. Tablecloths and napkins and all decorated, and then at my place they'll have a whole ketchup bottle sitting there. Yeah, how many of you have seen that? All right, several hands. I know you know what I'm talking about. And I do like it. I like to see it on the table. It makes me comfortable. In fact, I'm more comfortable tonight. Comfortable than, you know, having. But I've had a hard time training my wife. These 50-something years, she's got it right about half the time. Gets the ketchup on there, you know. Now, there's rumors going around about what I actually eat it on. How many of you heard any of those rumors? It's been joked about that I've even been seen to eat it on cake. I've seen some cake it needed some help, haven't I? And one thing about it helps out, whatever, a little bit. I don't know how it got started. I was born on a farm in Georgia, and we did raise tomatoes. And I remember as just a little guy following my dad down those rows of tomatoes with a little bucket of water and a little dip and helping him water the tomatoes. The tomato plants when they would just be getting started. I remember that. And then in the town that was closest to us from the farm was a little town called Pelham, Georgia. Still there, don't look much different than it did then. But we'd go to town just about every Saturday. Now we were the hillbilly thing you've seen on TV, the Beverly Hillbillies. That's kind of what we looked like, except they had a newer car than ours. But we'd go to town, and right around in the middle of town, near the railroad depot, right in the middle of town was this great big red stuffed tomato. I mean a big one, because the town was, I guess, somewhat famous for its tomatoes. And I remember going to town and wanting to see that tomato as a little fella there. And, you know, just thinking about it, I don't know that's where I caught on to ketchup or not, but it's pretty common, isn't it? I've had some fun with it because it is red in uncertain circumstances. I remember one time when I was youth leader, that's 100 years ago, but I was youth leader in a church, and teenagers, and had a good bunch of teens. And any teen leader knows that once in a while you have to call teenagers down, don't you? I mean, you got to keep their attention, brother. It's about that long. And you got to work at it. And from time to time, I'd have to call some of them down, and a plan developed in my mind how I might could work on that thing. And how many of you remember Brother Fowler? He lived in the village. He over here in the village. He died, but he was our school principal for years here in the church, serving, even our song leader for a while. Brother Fowler was saved and was in the church before I was, and he helped me a lot in growing in grace. And God must have a sense of humor, because it come around to years later that he worked on my staff. It was a blessing. Good man. But he had several kids, and one of the boys was named Rick. And Rick was a good kid. All his kids were good kids then. Didn't really have any trouble out of them, but I had a couple of other troublemakers. And you teenagers answer the phone tonight now. And I thought of an idea that might help me out in getting control of the teenagers. Now, the statutes of limitations is gone on this, so don't report me. There's not a thing they can do about it. Not now, amen. But we had a youth meeting before church in the evening. And so I had them up there in the teen department, and I'd made it up ahead of time with Rick. Nobody but him and one other man that was assisting me. That was all. Brother Fowler was there. His older daughter was there. His younger daughter was there. The younger two boys was there. And Rick was there. And I had Rick sitting on the front row. And I'd made up something with him. I had given him a empty capsule. I'd emptied whatever was in it out, and I'd filled it up with ketchup, and I'd given it to Rick, and we had a plan. We went down to the hardware store, and a man that was with me there that was working in the hardware store went in the hardware store and got out a revolver about that big. That's called a pistol for some of you. Nine-shot, high-standard .22 revolver. And got it out and got me a .22 shell. And I took the bullet out of the .22 shell, and I put paper wadding in it, right in there. And I slipped it on the platform, sort of like I have now. You don't know what's under here. Anyway. I had it on the platform, and I was up there starting the lesson, just trying to get started, and all the teens and a few adults in there. And Rick kept wiggling, and he kept trying to talk and not pay attention. And I said, "Rick, be still." And he would not be still. And I said, "Hush." He would not hush. So I said, "If you don't, something bad's going to happen to you." And Reckley done it again. And I just reached under there, pulled out that .22 pistol, and fired it. So help me God. And Rick come up and hit his head with that ketchup. Just smeared it across his head. And fell out on the floor. You talk about business picking up. You talk about a fired up service. I never forget Brother Fowler. He looked in shock, and he looked down there and said, His daughter went berserk. In fact, we had to quickly catch her and tell her this is a joke. I said, get up, Rick, before she has a heart attack. Ketchup comes in handy sometimes. It's not just for hot dogs, amen. Now, I don't recommend that. You youth leaders, anybody messing with kids, you go into jail for that today. But in the context of these verses I read, the Apostle Paul's taking up an offering. And if you got it back here and read it, you'd find out that he's already warned them ahead of time that he is. And if the great apostle Paul kind of had to tiptoe through this thing and present some reasons why, and yet in these reasons, we read these promises, and he's telling them of the need, and he's trusting them that they're going to raise it and they're going to get it, and he's going to come by and take it somewhere else. And hey, do you understand what I'm saying? Things hadn't changed much. We're still having to take up offerings. And preachers are still finding it something they have to tiptoe around a little bit. Did you know that ketchup has a reproach to it? I have gone a time or two in 50-something years with my wife to anniversary to a nicer-than-usual restaurant. That means better than McDonald's. Go in where the hors d'oeuvres and maybe even the gray coupon is served, I don't know, but a fancy place. And I've still asked for ketchup. That's kind of embarrassing to her. I remember one time watching a shoot 'em up western. Gary Cooper was a star. Now, he was just an old country cowboy, and he went to this restaurant with this society gal. I mean, a French waiter come out with a napkin on his arm like that and stood around the table. And Gary Cooper was out of his tree, just like I've been many times. And he didn't hardly know how to act, but they got all the food around there. And the waiter said, "You need some sauce?" And he said, "How about some ketchup?" I fell in love with him. Truth of the matter is, there's a little reproach on this, though. Do you know there's a little reproach on raising an offering? Have you caught on now? We need a catch-up offering. We need a catch-up offering. Amen. A little bit of a reproach, perhaps, on it. But I personally, as a preacher, I hate to deal with business, and I'm not going to deal with it much tonight, but we will deal with it some a little bit later. But tonight, I want to appeal to you about less planning and giving another catch-up offering. And I say another, because we did it last summer, and by the grace of God was able to do some things, get the shell of the gym up over here and the radio tower up and that sort of thing. The only thing is, we need to do it again. Need to do it again. I don't know the exact figure yet, and I'm working on it. We're going to figure out where we're at. But let me say this. Here's why we need one. And I'm not wanting to be lied about it. And while I was doing this with a little bit of humor, it's a serious thing. I mean, God's work, God's cause, raising money for it is a serious thing. And I'm not wanting to be lighthearted about it. I didn't see them this week, but the bookkeepers had the auditors in, and we do have auditors. Say, what's an auditor? Well, you pay them to count your money, and then I never could figure that one out. I never thought I'd see a church when I came here in 1971. The first week's offering was $167, that I'd ever have to pay anybody to count our offering, you know. But we do have auditors, and they come in about once a year, and they're fussing a little bit this year. They're fussing because they realize we don't have any cushion. You know what I'm talking about? We don't have any buffer zone. Now, maybe you have one at home. Mine's not too thick at home, and I'm sure most of yours isn't. But the truth is, they'd like to see it thick on the church, and so they ask the bookkeepers, what's your contingency plan? So the bookkeepers ask me, what is our contingency plan? And if I get a chance to tell the ushers, I'm going to say it's faith, hope, and charity. It's faith the rapture's coming soon. Amen. It's hope that we have money enough to pay the bills until he gets here. And it's charity, God's charity, that he's going to move on some folks' hearts so we can keep paying the bills. Amen. And that's our contingency plan. Now, they won't like to put that in on the paper, I'll guarantee you. But that's it. Now, what we need one for is we need to keep the basic ministry going. Landmark has never been one to put a lot of icing on the cake that wasn't needed. We do things practical. We build buildings for less than anybody else could build them for. We try to have the bare necessities and the basic ministry, but we've never been into the luxury crowd. And our growth through the years has been because we got every mile we could out of every dollar that belonged to God. That's been our plan. That's still our plan. That's still what we're doing. And God has blessed through the years. It is amazing to me, and I'm thankful for it, that we have the outreach that we do as a church. Not only just to the mission field, but influences others. You've seen the pictures back there today. This is something that happened a long time ago, but the preacher brought me these pictures just to remind of the church that we got started over on the East Coast. Now, we've seen many churches started since then, some over on the West, some South, some North, some in other states that we've been able to help with, and praise God for that. But our influence has stretched a long way in this sense. There's a lot of preachers and a lot of little churches out there that are sticking by the stuff because they look to Landmark as we kind of have blazed the trail and we hadn't changed as the world has changed. Stephen said it this morning. We're all about, average church is about 10 years old or 10 years behind the world. We want to be a lot further than that behind the world in this day and time. That's for sure. I thank God that some preachers can, you know what the news is today? The old ways won't work. You can't use the old Bible. People can't understand it. Why, you can't use the hymn books. That's not cool. You got to dress this way, do this way, and party like the world and bring in the world's junk they call music. Help yourself if you don't like it. I want to say to you, it still works. God's way. Hey, if it was truth in Grandpa's day, it's truth today. Truth don't change. The book don't change. God's plan don't change. And God's taste don't change. The world's taste may change, but God's don't. And so we've had some influence where others have said, okay. I had a church call me just recently. They said, we want to get out of the mess we're in. What do you suggest? I said, be independent. Answer to God. Go by His book and ask God to bless that, and I believe He will. Take a stand. Take a stand. Now, we got a lot of work to do. That's why we need a catch-up offering. We got a lot of work to do because the expenses have increased, and this is something that's happened. I don't believe we're using any more kilowatt power on the power bill than we did 5 years ago, but you ought to see the difference in the power bill. Some of the fixed expenses keep rising. And you know it in your own household. And you also know there's no need to pussyfoot around it. We are in a recession. It may even be worse than a recession. It could even be the final one before the rapture takes place and the tribulation period begins. And that would be hunky-dory with me. Now, if you don't know what that is, look it up. Amen? Yeah, I know. We've been fighting recession for 3 years. We've watched businesses in town close up. We've seen church members lose jobs. We've seen people move out of state because they had to go somewhere else for employment. All of that has hit us. This is the dead of summer. This is the smallest crowds that we have these last 2 or 3 weeks. I understand that. And I understand a lot of our folks are listening on the radio somewhere else or on the internet. And I'm glad for that. And thank God for faithful people that even though they leave, send their tithes and offerings back. But at the same time, we can't cover it. We can't kid ourselves. Times are tight, but I preached to you Wednesday night that God took care of the Jews in the land of Goshen when He was plaguing Egypt. And He'd still take care of His people in the midst of famine, in the midst of recession, or whatever else. Now, yes, I know it's a recession. I know expenses are climbing. I also know that we can't look to government to fix it. I saw a couple of statements this week that bothered me because I thought about how true it is. One statement said, is the government at war with America? Think about that a little bit. Who do most Americans fear most? Actually, you say, well, the terrorists. Well, the rest of the statement went on. Has the state become a terror to its people? Huh? Who do you fear the most that's going to raise your taxes to where you can't pay them? I mean, even some of Bin Laden is not going to be able to do that. We're in a heap of trouble. There's no doubt about it. And we can't look to government to fix it. I mean, the policies we got right now, according to the polls, are the opposite of what the people want. From what they would, this crazy thing out in Arizona, federal government's going to sue the state. Because the state's trying to do the job the federal government won't. Isn't that interesting? But I did see, talk about the right hand and the left hand in government not knowing what's going on. I did see where they're giving Arizona $1.25 million to build a bridge in Arizona to save the red squirrel from being run over.
Oh my Lord.
Yeah. Yeah. If they'd treat the people with as many rights as the red squirrels got, they'd be all right, wouldn't they? Isn't that amazing? By the way, I did see in the news or read it this week where there was an earthquake that hit Washington, D.C. And I thought, if there's ever a place needed shaking up, that's the place that needs it, brother. Did you see also this week where they finally admit in what we said, what I preached from this pulpit, what was on some of the conservative news, where they are finally admitting that the health care bill, Obama's health care bill, does include spending your tax money on abortions? Do you understand there's something awful unfair about that? I am against the smallest percentage of my tax money murdering a baby. There ought to be some recourse. There ought to be some way. But we've got to the place in America we don't have any recourse anymore. Not much else you can do. You say, oh, I won't pay my taxes. Then they take your house, put you in jail, whatever else. I understand that. That's the mess we're in. That's why you can't look to government. We got to look above that for our needs. We got to look to what we was reading about, who Paul was talking about in raising this offering. I want to say this, and I know the question comes to your mind. We need an offering. We need a catch-up offering. But what have we been doing? Well, I'll tell you what we've been doing. Been doing this now pretty much for 3 years, and especially this last year. We've been adding water to the catch-up. My wife one day at the table, and I forget which grandkid was there, wanted some ketchup. And Grandpa had already emptied the bottle. And I heard her say, we're out, honey. And I looked at the bottle and I said, no, we're not. She said, yes, we are. I said, no, we're not. Give me the bottle. And I went into the spigot and I got a couple ounces of water. I shook it up. I brought it back in. And it looked like it had about that much ketchup in it. And it worked. Now, it was thinned down. It was cut back. What are we doing? We're cutting back. We're thinning down. We got to. We got to. You see, when you have a problem, you're not balancing the budget. There's only two things. One, you got to get more income, or you got to cut the algo. You don't have to be real deep to get that. One or the other has to be done. Only the government can ride between the two. Only the government can keep printing the money and keep spending their way out of, oh, it's the craziest thing in the world. I was always taught as a kid, you save for a rainy day. You didn't go out and just spend and charge. And America has been sold on that stupid idea. And sooner or later, that bubble's going to burst just like the real estate market did. But anyway, what have we been doing? We've been watering the ketchup. We've been thinning down. We've been doing all that we could to cut back. We've had to cut back on advertising. Here we have the Bible College, and if we don't run a few ads here and there, nobody knows about us. We have our own college paper, and I've cut it down. It's past due now, but it costs us several thousand dollars to put it out. It's one of our best outreaches for college students to know about us, and I hate it, but we're behind on the issue. We've had to cut back. We've had to double duty on staff. We've had some staff leave for good reasons, like starting a church somewhere. And what we've done is not replace them, but take the load they were carrying and spread it, thin it down, add water to the ketchup, if you please, to cover it on out. We've been doing those things. I mean, doing them faithfully for a good while. Some of you remember when we used to run school buses for the Christian Day School. But we had to quit that because we could not afford it. Gasoline, insurance, not to mention maintenance was eating us alive on the thing. And we said to the folks, you want to pay more or you want us to stop them? They said, neither one, just keep running them. That's what we all want, but it don't work that way. Yeah. It won't work that way. We've had to make some cuts. We've had to freeze on our mission work. We haven't taken on any new missionaries in a pretty good while. And we've had some churches started that we're just giving a pittance to, just trying to, and I want to tell you, I'm the guy that has to say no to all those pleas and all those calls and all the ones that are trying to say, and hey, they're legitimate, they're good workers, they'll get the job done, they need help. But we can't do it if we can't. And by the grace of God, we've had our support given through the years to many and getting the job done. But unlike the government, we have to balance the budget. And so that's why we had a catch-up offering last year. Now, we called it something else. Can anybody remember what we called it? Was it a panic offering? I can't remember. It was that, but I don't remember what we called it. Do it again. That was it. Do it again, because we'd done it before that. Amen. And I thought, what am I going to call this one? And then I thought, it's a catch-up. Why don't we call it catch-up? And then I thought of ketchup, amen? That's where it come about. But what we've been doing, we're going to keep doing, folks. I'm going to come before you on a Sunday night or a Wednesday night pretty soon. You see in the bulletin this morning, we set the first two Sundays in August to raise extra offering. I'm not talking about what we have every week. We got to keep that average going, but we got to go above it. And let me be honest with you, you and I that are probably sitting here tonight may be more blessed than a lot of people in this town or this county or this state. You still got a job, you're blessed. You're still getting your bills paid, you're blessed. You're still getting your house payment and your light bill paid, you're blessed. Now let me say, there's a lot of folks working for companies and jobs that would be thankful if they'd have just worked 40 weeks out of the year. Just that much. I haven't missed a week. You haven't missed a week. We've been blessed. If I did have to miss a week, by the grace of God, I could make it. You could make it. I'm simply saying that we have been blessed, and we need to keep on thinking that way about it. God says He'll supply all of our need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now, He didn't say wants. If it was wants, I'd be driving a Cadillac. Not one 40 years old. I'm joking around a little bit now about it. God helped me with my wants many years ago. And I have seen Him be faithful for my needs through all the time that I've known the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. And many of you could give that same testimony. Now, in the bulletin, we've set the first two Sundays in August, and we'll talk to you about it. The reason I'm not setting a figure on it tonight is because as honest as I can, I'm going to figure up what we need to catch up. And then we will present that. And sure, we believe that God will bless again. He has in the past. So here's the question. How can we give it? Well, Paul's way here was the catch-up way. You say, I don't see that in the text. Well, I can show it to you if you go back with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Just turn over a few pages back. Paul's had trouble. You read Acts 19, you'll find out about the silversmith and the threat Paul was under and all that and the trouble he was in and how others came, had to come and send to him and help him. And you find in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, he says in verse 9, but we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raiseth the dead. Then he dropped on down to verse 11 to get the given context. Says, ye also, helping together by prayer for us, that for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf. Now I want you to watch the word here. A gift was given. It was made up of many persons. You get that? Many persons. Got the word many there a couple of times. You know how we're going to get the offering? We're going to get many involved. That's the way Paul did. He got many involved. That was the catch-up way. You see, ketchup is made of many. How many of you think there might be one, more than one tomato that gave its life for that? I suspect if you really analyze what's in there, there's a bunch of tomatoes in there. I suspect if you really analyze it, there's some that was overripe put in there. Aged. Amen. There's probably some middle age in there, don't you reckon? And some young ones, and maybe some of this type and of that type, all put together. And then I hate to tell you this, but pressure was put on them. Pressure was put on them. And if you could have heard those tomatoes talk, they might have been complaining. How often we got to go through this? When's enough going to be enough? Yeah. But when it's all put together, the whole turned out real good. And the many made up the help that Paul got. And we, the many, are going to make up the catch-up offering that's going to keep us going. Amen. I'm not a prosperity preacher. I don't preach if you give, you'll get rich next week because of it. I don't preach that at all. You may have the worst week after you just gave that you ever had. But God's still God if it happens. Amen. And you can still trust Him. And I do believe He honors them that honor Him. And I don't believe you not give God and all those things that are right and scriptural to say. I say them. But at the same time, there's nothing shows our love and our care for the cause of Christ than our giving.
That's right.
Bible says where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. If your heart's in the cause of Christ, you count it an honor that you can give. And you don't think about the hole it leaves in your pocketbook. You think about the cause it's going for. And there's a big difference the way you look at it. How can we get it? How can we have this catch-up offering? Well, we're going to get all under pressure. We're going to get mashed a little bit. We're going to get squashed a little bit. Somebody said, and I think rightfully so, that you hadn't really given sacrificially until you feel it. Until you feel it. And I suspect if those tomatoes could talk, they'd tell you they felt it. They felt it. Now, I don't know if it was a bunch of tomatoes or tomatoes. I'm not sure what it was there, but I'm sure that it was all together. And the individuals that's in there had to lose their own beauty and their own glory to become part of the whole. I found as a preacher through the years, some folks would give if they could get a lot of trumpets blown in front of them. I found some others that didn't want anybody to know what they'd done. And I've looked at it through the years, and I've seen God's blessings on those that gave as unto the Lord and didn't need a pat on the back from somebody else down here. Jesus talked about giving you alms in secrets, didn't he? One day be rewarded before the Lord, rewarded openly. But the finished product, when it's all put together, the big picture, and that's what it's all about. What's the big picture at Landmark? It's still getting the gospel out. It's running the buses. It's the Christian day school. It's the radio station. It's the college. It's the camps. It's the whole big picture. And when I can keep my eyes on the big picture, the big cause, I find out it don't hurt so much to give, that it's a privilege to give. You know, I discovered something else. I didn't know this until after I got married. I didn't know this about ketchup. Because generally at home, the ketchup bottle was always on the table. The reason it didn't spoil was we emptied it too quick. But after just the wife and I, and the ketchup bottle would be put out for lunch, and there it would set, and she'd say something like this to me. You want to use that later, you better put it in the fridge. She said, that stuff will spoil, that stuff will go bad. I didn't know that. Wouldn't it be a shame if the trumpet sound and we had our money in the bank spoiling? Hey, that joke we read a while ago about no cash and no hope, that may not be as far away as you think. Paper is paper. You can't eat it. Gold is gold. You can't eat it. And the truth is, if you store it up, your neighbor's going to come take it anyway, so you just better go ahead and give it to God. I'm joking around with you a little bit. I think you ought to keep an extra sack of grits around, maybe. Maybe an extra bottle of ketchup, but I'm playing with you some. But the truth of the matter is, money is a wonderful servant and a terrible master. And if you just let hoarding get on your mind, then the next thing you know, you'll become a tightwad, a skinflint, and you will dry up the blessings of God on your life. Whereas I believe God will give through us what he will not give to us. I can be a channel. Let it come in, pass it on. If it comes in and I choke it up, next thing you know, God says, can't trust him no more. I'll give it to somebody else over here that'll do right with it. Amen and amen. Amen. May not be the best preaching you've heard, but it's backed up with the scripture. Now, the truth of it is collectively by many we can do, and I'm not wanting anybody's last piggy bank burst. I'm not wanting anything that's going to hurt your family. I'm saying to you, I believe with all my heart you can trust God, give the best you can. And when it's all put together, it'll be like the little tomatoes and the big ones. When it's all brought together, we'll have a good finished product. Amen. And we'll see a victory for the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, there's something else, though, about the ketchup, and that is, if you think about it this way, it's somewhat the picture of the gospel. It's red, isn't it? What did you hear singing tonight? I didn't ask for that, but I heard the singing tonight, and I appreciate it. And I heard them singing about the blood, didn't you? The blood of the crucified one. And nothing but the blood. I want to say to you, if you're here and you're unsaved, every time you pick up a ketchup bottle, just remember the only thing that can cover your sins is red. It's the blood of Jesus Christ. It's a witness there. No other way you're going to ever get them covered. Let me also say, when you look at the name of it, we call it ketchup. Did you ever read over in 2 Thessalonians chapter 4, where one day we're going to be caught up?
Amen.
Amen. Next time you sit down at McDonald's and pour out the ketchup and start dipping your fries in it, think about what color it is. And that's the only way your sins can be forgiven. And then think about if you don't get it done before the trumpet sounds, when God's people are caught up, you're going to be left behind. There's going to be a catching up of those that are saved.
Amen.
I hope it'll cause you to think about that, because all the money we've raised at Landmark through the years and still having to raise and still, in a sense, going from hand to mouth for this project or that project, it's got one big purpose behind it. Reach every soul we can for Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Whether it's the gospel over the radio or the gospel of these bus kids that ride the buses, or whether it's our youth camp this week, we still got one big picture in mind. Reach everybody we can. Make disciples out of them so they can reach others. That's God's plan. And still the answer is the blood. Oh yeah. It's worthwhile what we're doing, folks. I could have walked in here tonight and said, woe is me. We are hurting financially. I could have done that. And I got to thinking, well, that wouldn't be faith. That wouldn't be honoring to the Lord. Hasn't he come through before? Yeah.
Amen.
So I kind of had fun telling you, let's have a catch-up offer. And we'll talk to you about the mount. And we're going to be honest, try to figure out what we got to have. And it's the dead of summer and folks are gone. If you know some of them that are gone, get on the phone and call them and say, hey, if you can't come back, send your money. Don't make me pay all this by myself. Yeah, I'm playing with you again, but there are a lot of them that will. There's a lot of them that will. And no doubt some of them are watching even tonight with the internet, and some technology is good, I guess. But anyhow, here's what I want you to do. I want you to start praying about it. By next Sunday night, if not morning, we'll try to have some goal we're shooting for. It may be less than last year. We'll see what it's going to figure up. But pray God's going to help you be part of the whole package. Amen?
Amen.
And do your part. Let's bow our heads.